We're pleased to have with us for this hour our brother Jerry Andrus from Salem, Oregon. He served us faithfully in the past, and we've received a blessing from his ministry also. And we're looking forward to the blessing from the Lord through his subject for this hour, which seems to be along the lines of an expensive subject. He's entitled it, The Costly Material. The Costly Material. May the Lord bless your ministry to us, Brother Jerry.
Well, thank you, Brother Ed. Brethren, it's just good to be with you. And you know the reason why. We sang about it. Heavenly aspirations. And that's really why we're here, is it not? Would like to bring you the love of your brethren in Salem. They voted to send their Christian love to each and all. And Sister Dolores wanted me to mention especially her love. She really wanted to be here. I could tell by looking at her face. But when we left, she was smiling and praying for us here at convention. Costly materials. Now, we all know that the study of the tabernacle is a fascinating one. And understand, Brother John has just started it, a study of the tabernacle. And I'm sure he will find many blessings along the way. Those that have gone over it time and time again will remember some of those blessings that will come to light. Yes, but it's more. It is an enlightenment, and it is also an inspiration. Now, Jehovah God left nothing to Moses' imagination. Acts 7:44 says, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen." Now, the tabernacle sets forth the way our Father draws us to himself. He has come out in the way of mercy to make himself known and to establish his will, his blessing through Christ Jesus. John 6:44. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And we heard about that a little earlier, did we not? And the poet says, "The glories that compose thy name stand all engaged to make me blessed." And that is true. And that is a promise. And that is your promise. The teachings of the tabernacle provides, as we have found, supportive information and pictures of the major doctrines, at least some, that are found in the Bible, the sin offering, and wonderfully our share in it, justification, sanctification, glorification. But we're not going to look at it from this side particularly this morning, but from another side. In Exodus 39:43, continue to read, "And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded it." Now, brethren, wouldn't you like to hear such a commendation? Well, when we're faithful, surely that will be the words of our Father. But it may be the words to us now, every day, when we kneel at bedside or when we arise in the morning. Yes, we have that privilege. Moses looked upon all the work. A thrilling sight indeed at Sinai. Moses saw the tabernacle completed, the memento of Jehovah's presence with the children of Israel. Now the shadow of Moses' work fell on our Lord Jesus, for he steadfastly set his face toward the tabernacle, eastward. It was the one object that filled his sight. Every sacrifice, every smoking victim, every flame of fire upon the altar told the same story, and in type and shadow presented to him the fearful tree, the smiting to which each moment as it passed hastened him on. For him the tabernacle kept the cross in sight, and thus it should do for us. And he who worships him, we who worship him, and when we find in these boards and elements of the tabernacle shadowy outlines of heavenly truths, which add stability and sustenance to the truth-seeking and sacrificing priest, indeed, it just reminds us that we are following in the steps of Jesus. When Moses commenced the structure, he spoke to the children of Israel thus, Exodus 25:2, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering." Now the margin says, a heave offering. An offering that is raised above the horizon, if you please. A upward motion. Now a wave offering is a movement of affection Godward. But a heave offering is an energetic movement, a activity, a contribution, and it must be lifted by the children of Israel, by each of us as offerers. Now the whole vast scene of God's glory in Christ must be formed in the affections of the saints now, and then lifted into their place of service, all put together and constructed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And our Father looks for these energetic movements of affection from His people. Every man that giveth willingly, today, tomorrow, in order to have the fullness of God's presence. We can have the presence of God, but it doesn't always speak of its fullness. The fullness depends upon what we do and how it is received. We must have this willing heart, counting all things we possess as the Lord's and acknowledging that He is free to ask for it at any time. Notice also, He shall take of my offering. Now we are people furnished with divine wealth, treasures and earthen vessels, the Apostle Paul tells us. We can bring an offering. At least some part of the divine purpose is found in each one of us. There is none of us that has nothing. That measure that we carry in this earthen vessel, given us of the Lord, is something that we can use not only for the development of ourselves, but in the development and the construction of this tabernacle spiritual. All intended under the hand of God to produce evidence of the workings of the Holy Spirit. And we need all the varied parts to do the work of the antitypical tabernacle, that a suitable dwelling place for God can be found amongst us here on earth. Remember, the tabernacle is an earthly picture. And the Lord says that He wants this dwelling place amongst us. What condescension the Lord is willing to come down to us through His Son and His Holy Spirit. We need to be very careful. Many have brought their offering, but maybe it's not lifted high enough. And the best that could be hoped for with such an offering is making bricks for Egypt. Exodus 38:21. "This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted, according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. Now it was the work of Ithamar, son of Aaron, to take count of all and to see that nothing was missing. Every detail of the divine harvest truth is essential to the glory of our Father, for the work of the ministry. A missing peg would mean a slack cord, and a slack cord would mean a curtain out of place, and disorder would spread. A brother who can put in a word to prevent these things from getting slack, a sister who can count and see that what is missing, they have a great capacity for this, and they can render valuable service. The contribution of each one is needed. All had to be brought together, though. Each individual contribution had to be find its place in relationship to the whole, and eventually comes together under the hand of Moses. So then, it is not a question of what we are entitled to, but what is he entitled to? If we are delighted in all that we see in him, there is a kindredship with him and with us. If he wore sacrificial garments, so we must have a desire to wear like garments. If he is willing to serve his people, so we really must serve. The material has to first come from the affections of his devoted people. Remember the text, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me a offering." Oh yes, enriched by the advocacy of Jesus through grace, a people which thou hast redeemed. And in Exodus 15 and 13 we read, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." In then his mercy he has led forth us, his people. Now the object of our deliverance is that Jehovah might have his people for himself. He has redeemed us. He has delivered us that he might have a precious son under his eye. A people marked by the refusal of the flesh and by the presence and the reflection of Christ Jesus. You know, it is a good thing when others see us acting so distinct from those of the world that they have to say, "Why?" This identifies you as a purchased possession, and that distinction should be seen. In fact, we would venture to say it must be seen. Exodus 6 and 16. Now these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations: Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And verse 18, "And the sons of Kohath, Amram." Now as the tabernacle picture book has taught us, this Amram means exalted people. From the descent of Amram the priest, all were taken. We have taken up this priesthood by God's appointment. And in 1 Peter 2:9, we are told, "Ye are a chosen generation." And I'm sure that the Apostle Peter reflected back upon such verses as we just read in Exodus when he wrote these words: "A royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." To think of it, brethren, we are bound up with Christ Jesus eternally. And that eternity is now, or it can be. Through infinite grace, we are bound up. Our heart and our minds is found the object in Him whom we can rest in. The purposes and work of God are very meaningful. He never goes on a fool's journey. So by the very fact that we have been touched by the words of these scriptures and have been identified as part of the body of Christ means it is a mighty work, an important work, because the work that the Lord sets out to do of itself must be mighty and wonderful, else He would not do it. And then every detail of truth descriptive of God's purposes becomes of great interest to the soul. The words that I speak, they have life. And if this is so, all the blessings of God is coming, or should be coming out in their fullness to us. And if this is so, all leads to keeping the charge of the antitypical tabernacle. Leviticus 8 and 35, "Therefore shall he abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that he die not, for so I command." But, alas, is there trouble in the land, in Beulah country, our country? The children of Israel had much and receive much at the hand of the Lord. And if we but take a moment to reflect back on their backslidings, after seeing so much and having so much, yes, there is danger in the land, because we know what happened to many of the children of Israel, don't we? In fact, to most of them. Lo and behold, for 40 years, they had the presence of the Lord. They walked with Jehovah, as it were. But only Caleb and Joshua were given the privilege of going into the land of promise. And all we're seeking to point up here is that if they had so much, and so many could lose so much, is it possible that we are in danger today and tomorrow? Jeremiah 10 and 20, "My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are going forth from me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains." The Lord Jehovah was heard to say that once. Will he be heard to say that twice? Do we see here anything that answers to present conditions? How many times have you read and wondered, backsliding so quickly and so often? It should point out to us that it is very easy to backslide. Easier than to go forward. Even though we have all the power and the might of Jehovah working on our behalf by the very numbers themselves, as we look at the children of Israel, would be suggestive of this. In each case, their greatest failure were characterized by introduction of strange elements which did not belong at all to the divine system. Now, these would not have to be great things. They could be little things. The little foxes that spoil a vine. Or is it the big foxes that spoil the little vines? I don't know. Maybe it's both. Now, we are not talking about doctrine, but we're talking about the lack of them. We are not talking about the commandment of God, but the lack of keeping them. such as Israel. They knew not, but they knew, but they did not keep. Everything that is of God, all that speaks of Christ, all that is of the divine grace and the workings of the saints, must be within this divine system. And that is before we get into heaven. Yes, so we can see how important then it is. When one says, why are you so different? Yes, it must be said. It must be seen. Now, brethren, we know not all the conditions here. We know the conditions in our areas. And we were at venture to say that there is a revival of service to the Lord that we see in our area amongst our brethren that we have missed in some days past. And even here in Chicago, the brethren may be the most faithful in all the world, we hope, but there still can be a revival. Even if you have poured out your all, I'm sure that you can find more as you reach down within self to find some more strength to serve. That is what we are talking about. There must be a revival. Things are lax. And I think that each one of you can think of something in the past year that you have seen or visualized or have heard. So let us talk about revival, the revival of our purposes. And we hear a young brother talking about, I'm picking up the tabernacle book and I'm going to start studying it. That's a revival. That is a revival. And I'm sure that many of you are doing this already. But possibly, as the pig of this antitypical tabernacle, maybe you can help strengthen the curtain or do something with the board. Yes, even the little pig had a very important service in that tabernacle of old. How much more important is that pig in the antitypical tabernacle today? And you say, why? Well, all of those children will be brought back in the millennial kingdom. But the pig of today, if it can help one and themselves into this glory and hope that the brother spoke of earlier, indeed, that pig has been worth a mighty. And it must have been under the loving eye of the Lord to work such things. And it is possible. Here again, the Lord does not go on a fool's trip or journey or a service. So by the very fact that we have been touched with the power of His Word and His Holy Spirit, it means at least can be a pig. And we have a service to render unto this tabernacle. Not only in doctrine, but in commandment, keeping. You know, the purity of the church is her greatest defense. We probably should qualify that. On earth, of course, the power from heaven is always greater. The advocacy of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. But when we think of ourselves as the footsteps followers of Jesus, this side of the veil, remember, it's getting fewer and fewer. It is very important to have such purity. It is our greatest defense. It is when purity fails that all other things fail. We must keep the charge to confess the sufficiency of what is within us. Not because of us, but in spite of us. Because then the power of the Lord can be working. It is working. And you've heard it before. The church indeed is the depository of the Spirit of Jehovah. But the church of God also is the depository of the keeping that Spirit of the Lord on earth. It does not move within others other than yourselves and those throughout the world like yourselves. The world has it not. Oh yes, we see the power of Jehovah working on the front pages every day, but it's not working within the heart and mind of others, only in this priesthood. The children of Amram, the exalted people. You know that Jesus, when he began his ministry of life, it took him 40 days to consider how he was going to do it. Have you ever sat down alone by yourself and took 40 days to consider how you're going to lead your life in Christ Jesus? Well, I'd venture to say, maybe not continuous. But your brother Edmund, how many years? Yes, they count up. But it's time now to do some bigger counting, possibly. Do so more of that which you know the Lord is pleased with. We have become gun-shy, possibly. Ask the old-timers. The works they used to do. I remember I used to, when I first came into the truth, sit at the Pilgrim Brothers' feet and listen to some of those stories. And not only did they enrich my life then, but as I reflect, they've been a help indeed. And you know what I'm talking about because you've been there too. We're talking about hearing the report of a brother when the bus wasn't running, well, he would walk the 5 miles to visit a brother or sister who had need. You know, I have a wonderful companion at home, and I don't necessarily want to build my wife up because she's just one of us. But that means a lot because she has been touched by Jesus too. And she wouldn't want to be any more or any less than one of us. But she has this capacity. It might be in a study. And for the life of me, for 40 years, I don't know how she does it. But she'll come to me afterwards. She says, Dad or Jerry, she says, we need to go visit that brother or we need to go visit that sister. I said, what for? You know, he was seen rejoicing in the fellowship and that. No. He needs some help. And I don't think she's ever missed that I can remember. I don't know how it's done in her perception, but I believe it. And I don't question it anymore. Now, why this type of example? Well, it's just one of those little things showing that this sister, which is just one of us, has a service to the antitypical tabernacle to a degree that none of us, maybe most of us, or at least some of us, even after 4 years, wouldn't be able to be that perceptive. To point up the fact that we need brethren out there soliciting, if I can use the word, not in the sense the world uses it, but soliciting the gifts and fruits of the graces of the Spirit as it moves through and within us from each other. That is the Lord's depository. Well, we can find the power of the Spirit in the Word that we read in the Scriptures and the volumes and other helps that we have. But those that have tasted of the Spirit of the Lord as it moves through people, His people, they see a richness there too, which is profound and which is elevating. There's that heave offering, elevating. An energetic movement. Something that has to be done. Something that can lift up. And brother, you may be the only person that will be able to do it for that individual. You know, when you go to a seminar, if you work for a large corporation, they have a lot of meetings. And the total purpose of that meeting is to generate some enthusiasm, to revive some work habits that we've set aside on the shelf. Well, I don't think we're so far from that need ourselves. Each one of us, if we would find something else that possibly we did and we've just put it on the shelf, revive it. You never can tell. In the power and in the purpose and providence of God, it could be around the world in such a short time. I know things that happen in Chicago and sometimes probably a half hour after Sister Marie does. Sometimes. And they're the good things, good reports we enjoy. And other things that can be so helpful. We visited two elderly sisters not too long ago on the suggestion of my dear wife. She's seen something there. Well, sure enough, you know, a week later, they went into a care home. They needed those visits. Now, it wasn't something profound we did. It was something very simple. Something that we did not even realize that was working even before we got there. I don't want to make this a testimony meeting, but it's something I know about, which is happening and is working. Not only myself, but I see it in the Lord's providence working within others. Here this one sister, her bones are to the point now when she turns slightly, they'll crack and break. So she can't even hardly move, and I didn't realize it. The other sister is very bad too, heart. And they were in pain, so much so that we come to the door, we went in 5 minutes, we're going to excuse ourselves and leave. But the Lord had some other things in mind, and that's why I'm telling you about it. Not because of what we did, but so other things that the Lord had in mind becomes the important and the abiding thing. So they said, well, you know, we don't feel very well, and so we better go. And well, let's just read a few scriptures. And let's talk a little bit about the Bible. 4 or 5 minutes, then we'll go. Well, we started doing that. Of course, 2 or 3 minutes went into about 15 minutes and a half hour. Well, unbeknownst to us, there was a lady there. They could no longer do their housekeeping. And she was out in the kitchen doing her work. And so we were talking about these good things of the Bible, as Bible students do. And so we thought, well, it's time to go, because we've stretched out the 5 minutes by fivefold. And so we got up, and then the lady came in, because her husband was coming up the door. And she knocked on the door on the other end. She says, could you take a few minutes to talk to us about the Bible before you leave? Well, make a long story short, we didn't do the talking, but these two elderly sisters, and for 3 hours, there was just no way they had physical strength to do that. For 3 hours, they visited with these two people, and they forgot about all their ailments. And 5 minutes after they left, they were all back. Now that tells us something, doesn't it, brethren? Many of us got ailments that hold us back. But there is a place there for you. That peg in the antitypical temple, which the Lord has a great work for you to do, as He had this day for these two sisters. You know, they're living on the strength of that visit too, by the way. It doesn't leave immediately. Well, yes, remember, it took him 40 days. In fact, it took him all night to decide how he would meet the concerns of the morning many times. How concerned are we about the morning? In the morning? Let alone the night before. If you're anything like me, as I get so caught up in the fast pace of the world, that it drains just about everything. And I find myself sometimes not even thinking about the morning in relationship to the antitypical temple. That in itself could be a service unto yourself. And we can rest assured, if we can imbibe more of the Lord's Spirit, more of the Lord's work, it's just a matter of time, the Lord will be using it. If you have had a blessing, then tomorrow the Lord will be calling on you to use that blessing of yours upon another, or at least by next week or month. Yes, we need to go back to the fundamentals of Christian thinking as well as Christian living. The art of meditation. And it's just, that is an art, I think I can safely say, is lost, as it was in the days of old. You say, well, how in the world can you say that? Well, you take any convenience we have, and that speaks against it. Television, radio, it all takes away, doesn't it? From the art of meditation. Yes, we need to pray all night and sometimes all week. And if we can make the 40 days, I can tell you this for sure. You will look so much like Jesus, we won't be able to tell the difference. Yes, brethren. There has never been a time in which there has been so much known about the plan and doings of our Lord than in our day. And yet, so sometimes, maybe this is too strong, I was going to put down here so little thought of what is suitable. When we do things and we bring things into the class, say for instance, are we prepared? Well, no, because I never get a chance to say much anyway, and really, the things I say, they aren't important because somebody else says it so much better. Well, if you'd been with me sitting listening to those two dear sisters, you wouldn't have thought that others could say it much better than they did. It sure moved these two young folks, and they wanted to come back, by the way. So, yes, the flesh is such a wily master in drawing us and sapping our strength to think, well, my words don't mean a thing. There's nothing I can say that will be helpful. What are we really saying? If we believe that we are the depository of the Word and the Spirit of Jehovah, when we say something like that, what are we really saying? That the Lord cannot use us. There's nothing here that He can use. But I thank your Heavenly Father that lovingly would use each one of you if you place yourself in that position of use. In fact, He would love you to death on the altar, the same altar that Jesus died on. So, just try it. You'll like it. So, and I shouldn't say that because I'm sure that many of you are trying it and you are liking it. And the Lord is loving it. But can we do more? If we get nothing else of this hour than just the thought, can I do more, Lord? Help me to do more, Lord. And remember, history does repeat itself. Remember, that we might find a gift here at convention this weekend. A gift from our Heavenly Father. A gift from our Lord Jesus. But it's awful easy to go home and set it down on the mantle to look at. But that gift, if you have, or are receiving or will receive, is not a mantle gift. It's a gift that must be used and charged to get its charge. The alabaster must be broken. And of course, if you get that gift, it won't be over there on that table or over there on that table. It's going to be right here in the heart and in the mind. So that's why it has to be broken. So it'll get out to others. Just as Mary's gift. And we smell its fragrance even down to our time. And how often and how stimulating it is when we remember our Lord at memorial season. Well, we have some Marys amongst us now, but we'd like to see everyone in their Mary work. I think it can be spiritually discerned that publicly the priesthood is failing and has come under the judgments of God. But privately, I know that the more than overcomers are succeeding. Because the times will not get so bad that the very elect will be lost. Jesus has promised us that. Malachi 3:17, they shall be mine. And let us take out a pencil and write above that word mine, your name. Yes. And your Heavenly Father says, I want this. They shall be mine. He will be mine. She will be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. No equivocal statement there. Most firm and positive. You will be the Lord's. Determine in your heart and mind that you will be the Lord. You know, if one thing that's impossible for the Lord is to go beyond your determination and will. Unless we will it to the degree that it must be, there's no way that the Lord will invade the sanctity of that wish. Whether it be for good or for evil, we have the free moral agency. So when we read the statement, and we have written our name above, such as that word, mine, and the Lord has said that we will be His, then it takes a lot of responsibility and work upon our part. The Lord is working, and He will not fail. You've known it, you've been told it, but remind yourselves again, if there's any failure, it is upon our part. Not because of weakness in the flesh, but because of possibly pride of the flesh, lack of zeal. In fact, lack of a definite program in life. We've been hearing a lot about taxes and paying our taxes by the 15th. We should have such signposts along the way. When we get our ledger sheet and we fill it out and we go through the emotional agonies of deciding what our ledger tells us, to know what that adjusted working income really is that we have working. The Lord knows. And He'll give us time enough to know ourselves. In my own belief, I believe that if one becomes a great company member, they'll know it before they die. I believe that personally. Now, others don't, but neither here nor there. Now, I believe it because I want to believe it, and I don't want to be a great company. I know each one of you do not want to be, not only for yourselves, but for your Heavenly Father alone, for your love that you have for Him. If He wants it, that's what you want. Jesus wants it. How do I know? Because He gave His life for you and for me. Yes, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the days when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serveth him. In the days that I make up my jewels. We usually put a finale picture to this. But let us suggest that maybe there's a little jewel making going on right now, and it's by the hand and work of the Lord. Yes, the completed picture is when they're all brought together and put into that royal diadem. Yes, there's jewel work going on, and it must go on. Now this tells us, this Malachi 3:17, it is possible every one of us have the right as well as the means to be more than an overcomer, to be of the very elect, in spite of ourselves. If we will do those things that we know we must do, even as Jesus did. Well, not in the volume and degree as He did, but doing them, ever they be so small. So, let us see to it that the corner boards and the rings are secure. As we meet each morning, let us say, I am here, Father. I am here. And our Father is so loving, that's all we need. And that day, I promise you, will be a day that will be different than maybe some of the other days that have gone before without meeting your Father. Now there's other phrases, and maybe you have better ones to use than what I have used here. But we need to meet our Father. We need to meet our Father, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ in the way that we would like Him to meet us in the morning. If we don't meet Him in the morning, maybe it'll be noon before we see Him. If we don't meet Him in the morning and noon, maybe it'll be 5 o'clock before we will meet Him. And think what has been lost. It is possible, if our minds are not opened to Him, He waits till we open them to Him. And then He does. The scripture previous to the 17th verse of Malachi tells us He'll pour out a blessing that we will not be able to contain. Isaiah 54:4-2. And this is a mandate, your mandate from our Lord Jesus. Enlarge the place of my tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. As we meet each morning, let us say, then, I am here, Lord, for such a work. The ascended Christ, Jesus Christ, has given gifts for the perfecting of the saints with a view of edifying the body. And we know that among us, God has many wise-hearted ones endowed with ability to make things, to give special form to precious spiritual realities. The works of the sisters. Every woman that was wise-hearted spun with their hands and brought what she had spun. Exodus 35:25. And look what they spun. Blue and of purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Look at the quality of the virtues of these sisters in their spinning. Blue. What they can lend of faithfulness. Not only to their own life and heart, but to others. They can even spin royalty. They can weave that into the character and mind and heart of their brethren. Scarlet. Oh, that diffusion of the ransom. They can spread its qualities. Its faith-breaking equipment to tear down the old man, that the new man can blossom. Fine linen, the righteousness, there's that purity again. The different spiritual features and elements that make up the tabernacle under the order of Jesus Christ. This is what the Lord says that the sisters can do. They can do much to draw together the different fibers of divine teaching, so things may be strengthened in view of all being woven together, spinning and weaving. What a work, sister, for Jesus, weaving and spinning for your brethren. You know, not even Bezalel or any of the wise-hearted men could have made the curtains and coverings as they ought if the women had not done the spinning properly. For with the wise-hearted men, brothers, they brought the onyx stone and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate and the spices and the oil for the lamps and for the anointing oil and the incense of fragrance. These are the things which required spiritual stature and wealth in Christ. But we won't have time to go into those, will we? At this season. But another time. But brothers, you've got wonderful work for Christ. When you do it unto the little ones, Jesus, by His very lips, said, you do it for me. So brethren, do it. Do it for Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Those were such timely reminders for me, and I'm sure all of us, as to how short the time is and how we need to make the best use of the time the Lord has left for each of us individually to strengthen the things that remain and to revive our spirit and to remove those things that have become lax. To my right, up in the front of the auditorium, are three empty chairs, which provides at least three simultaneous opportunities for us to do some of this strengthening of our brethren. There are sign-up sheets there where you can pen an encouraging note to those who are in need in time of affliction or loneliness or whatever the case may be. So please use the opportunity to put down an encouraging message, a scripture, and your name, so that the brethren that were unable to be here might receive that added lift of the convention also. We encourage you to start a new sheet if you know of someone in need, and if you do so, please leave their name and address on the separate sheet up there so we can mail that promptly to them. We hope, weather permitting, to have a convention photo during the 3 p.m. intermission period, so you may keep that in mind. We'll remind you again later. Copies of the photo can be ordered from Brother David Naminsky.
In heaven, in the name of Jesus, this secret place, dear Father, that Thou hast shown us and promised us, may we find that abiding more closely in our hearts and life. And to this end, we pray Thy continuance with Thy Spirit, that we might be found to be more faithful in those things that we do, and through the privilege of meeting together, that we can revive our spirits unto Thee in all those things that we hope and desire that our love might exemplify to Thee. To this end, we pray for likewise for all Thy children throughout the world. May Thy new creation soon be complete, because we rejoice in the kingdom message, dear Father, for the children of men. And now we thank Thee for life and its provisions, the hands provided, and the gift of nature as Thou hast given. We thank Thee as we partake now in Jesus. Amen.